Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a single that was the most performed record on college radio in 1991. Its lyrics were inspired by the fall of the Berlin Wall. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate a single on the Specialty label by a Texas-born rhythm and blues artist who, after serving in the military during World War II, enrolled at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston to study piano and voice. He made his mark on history, though, with his guitar. Later, for our 3 from Way Downtown, we will enjoy a cover version of a British number 1 single that, despite peaking at number 116 on the Billboard charts, became a standard in the United States anyway. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will hear an album cut from the New Wave era that was never actually released as a single. Even without being released, this classic track was played on most American FM rock stations as if it had reached number 1. But first, just as we do every week, we will start with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then derailed. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we begin with a song written by one of the most successful songwriting teams of all time. In fact, this particular song had already been to number 1 in 1962 with a version sung by Little Eva. She was given the opportunity to record it when popular vocalist Dee Dee Sharp turned it down. Prior to recording that first hit version, Little Eva, whose real name was Eva Boyd, worked as a babysitter for the husband and wife songwriting team that wrote the song. 12 years after Little Eva took it to number 1, producer Todd Rundgren heard hard rock guitarist Mark Farner whistling this catchy song in the studio. Before long, Farner and his band, Grand Funk, were ready to release their experimental cover version, which fused brill-building pop with grinding hard rock guitar work.
Chance now.
You
Number 40, that was The Locomotion by Grand Funk, which had the distinction of being the second of the two songs that hit number one by different artists in the U.S. Strangely, Go Away Little Girl, also written by Jerry Goffin and Carole King, was the first to achieve that feat.
Universe Top 40.
At number 20, we have a five-man modern rock act that evolved from the band formed in 1979 in London, The Portraits. College friends Cy Kernan and Adam Wirtz recruited Rupert Greenall, Tony McGrail, and Russell McKenzie to make two singles that didn't sell. McKenzie and McGrail left the band, and Charlie Barrett and Jamie West joined. At that time, they changed their name to The Fix, with one X. MCA then offered the band a contract, but insisted that they change their name because of the connotation associated with hard drugs. The band refused, but did agree to alter the spelling of The Fix by adding a second X. With a song that peaked on the Billboard Hot 100 at number 76 and on the Cashbox Top 100 at number 91. That was The Fix and Stand or Fall, which at the very least should have reached number 20 on both charts.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a single that, on its way up to the number one position on the Billboard Modern Rock Tracks chart and number two on the Billboard Hot 100, spent 1 week at number 11 on both charts. The song also was the most performed recording on college radio during the year 1991. The act that performed it was made up of Mike Edwards, Ian Baker, and Jerry DeBorg. While on tour with their previous band, they decided to form their own band while sitting on a beach in Spain.
Revolution, but it's already passed by. Bob Dylan, living round.
thanks to early airplay from WIOQ in Philadelphia that helped them sell over 1 million copies of a record inspired by the fall of the Berlin Wall. That was Jesus Jones at number 11 on its way up to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 with Right Here, Right Now. At number 10, we have a song by a rock act that sounds absolutely nothing like any other record they ever made. I first heard it when radio station WLVS-FM in Memphis played it as an obscure track from an album called Rock and Roll Nights late one Friday night. The disc jockey purposely did not name the artist, and he asked his listeners to try to figure it out on their own. I certainly did not, but maybe you can.
Talking and I go out walking, the taste of tears in the wine. Sitting with you here now, it's all so clear. Girl, we've got to open up our eyes. We're wearing out our youth, hiding from the truth. Girl, you've got to realize. You've got to realize. You've got to realize. It's the end of the line. It's the end of the line. The flowers are dying, the world is crying. We've reached the end of our song. The days are all gray, now there's nothing to say. Now the sun hasn't shined for so long. Sitting with you here, now it's all so clear. Girl, we've got to open up our eyes. Wearing on our youth, hiding from the truth. Girl, you've got to realize. You've got to realize.
You've got to realize. It's the end of the line. It's the end of the line. It's the end of the line. Remember when a star out in the night, but now it's gone just like a falling star. So fly out into sky so blue, you've much to see and much to do. I'll think of you no matter where you are.
The End of the Line, a song that should have made it up to number 10 on all three American singles charts, that was not the Hudson Brothers, my first guess. Nor was it Peter Criss solo or singing lead for Kiss, my second guess. After numerous callers incorrectly guessed artists as diverse as Humble Pie to the Bay City Rollers, the disc jockey proudly announced that he had stumped us all. He then surprised me when he stated that the song was actually by that familiar four-man Canadian hard rock band, BTO. I couldn't believe it, but I did like the song well enough to buy the album the following week. And all these years later, that BTO song that sounds like nothing else they ever did sounds exactly like a number 10 single to me.
Number 9, number 9, number 9.
At number 9, we have an American rock group that sold 20 million records worldwide, charted on the Billboard Hot 100 a total of 21 times, and placed 3 singles into the Billboard Top 10. The band was originally created in 1965 by the production duo of P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry, along with Dunhill record executive Lou Adler. Early releases by this group were played on KGB in San Diego and KHJ in Los Angeles. By 1967, the band had reached number 8 in Billboard and number 5 in both Cashbox and Record World with the song Let's Live for Today. Consistent hits kept the band on the charts all during 68, 69, and 70. Their final top 10 in the United States was this track, which reached number 9 on the Billboard charts in 1971. Dunhill record label, that was the Grassroots with Sooner or Later, which peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Universe Top 40.
Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a track that is truly modern and great, and it should have reached number 8. It is by Lori Biagini, a singer-songwriter from Vancouver, British Columbia, who started playing piano by ear at the age of 5, and then spent the next 10 years devoted to classical piano. In the writing of this particular song, Lori teamed up with the extremely talented Elizabeth Rads, a Canadian who originally grew up in Hungary, to come up with the modern version of 60s California sunshine pop. With the song You Said Maybe, here is Lori Biagini.
You said maybe today. Thank you. together. It could have been sweet, exciting, and special. Just stop pretending. Why are you acting all so cool? You said maybe someday, but probably never. You're leading me on. Do you think you're so clever?
With a song that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was Lori Biagini with the song she co-wrote with Elizabeth Rads, You Said Maybe.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is by the long-standing legend of the Houston blues circuit, Lester Williams. Lester B. Williams was born on June 24, 1920, in Groveton, Texas. After growing up in Houston, Lester served in the military during World War II. After the war, he enrolled at the New England Conservatory in Boston, Massachusetts, to study piano and voice. Before graduating, he moved back to Houston and switched his primary instrument to guitar. According to Lester, quote, I could learn to play guitar and pull in some of that money that T-Bone Walker made, close quote. He formed his first group in 1949 and wrote the song Wintertime Blues that led to a production deal with Steve Poncio. Once Lester signed with Specialty Records, he had success with I Can't Lose with the Stuff I Use in 1952. While his records sold well through 1956, he eventually performed on radio station KLVL in Houston and toured constantly across the South. Later releases on the Duke and Imperial labels were not particularly successful. Lester Williams died in Houston on November 13, 1990, at the age of 70. Today's Little Slice of Heaven is his version of Brand New Baby, one of his R&B hits on the Specialty label.
I've got a brand new baby who can satisfy my soul. I've got a brand new baby who can satisfy my soul. Hey, what I like about her, she's not too young or old. She's a real fine woman, and she's really on the ball. But oh, that's so and so. She's my brand new baby. She's my brand new baby. She's my brand new baby. Baby, baby, baby. She's my brand new baby who can satisfy my soul.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Lester Williams with the song Brand New Baby. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Reinhard and his friend Gunter, both from Lobau, Germany, heard our 6070 broadcast on Gunter's audiosonic receiver with telescopic antenna. Gunter's handwritten reception report indicates several instances of 22232, and he sends us his best listener greetings. Well, Gunter and Reinhard, we wish best greetings to you both. Stefan, also from Germany, accidentally discovered our 6070 broadcast while scanning for music on his Sony ICF-2010 receiver with telescopic antenna. He reports 45433 and states that he enjoyed the program and liked the mix of songs. Well, Stefan, thank you for finding us on shortwave, and we hope you have clear reception in the future. Lynn from the U.S. heard an air check of our June 29, 7440 broadcast on archive.org. She says that she is really liking our show and that she plans to go back and listen to more of them. Thank you, Lynn. We hope to be able to produce more of the kind of broadcasts that you like. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's legendary singer-songwriter, the pride of Asbury Park, New Jersey, certainly qualifies. After the success of the album Born to Run, contractual problems caused there to be a 3-year delay before Bruce Springsteen's next album, Darkness on the Edge of Town, was released. During that break, Springsteen came up with the title Badlands for a new song. According to Rolling Stone magazine, the boss felt it was a great title, but that it would be easy to, quote, blow it by not writing a worthy song for it, close quote. After coming up with a riff loosely based on Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by the Animals, Springsteen took his lyrical inspiration from characters around him in his own world and from the Elvis Presley movie Kid Galahad.
The heart, I want the soul, I want control right now. Give it all.
bonus hit at number 6 from the album Darkness on the Edge of Town. That was The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, with Badlands. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now at number 5, we have a song that was recorded in Memphis. And up to this point, we have featured numerous selections that originated in Memphis, at least one song per show. Songs like Sittin' on the Dock of the Bay, which was recorded at Stax, and Let's Stay Together, which was cut at High. From Sun, we played Howlin' Wolf. From Arden Studios, we have played songs by Big Star, Cargo, The Hot Dogs, and ZZ Top. From Sounds Unreal, we have played Rob Junkless, Jimmy Davis, Good Question, and Reba Russell. And from Phillips, Susan Marshall. Up until now, we have not played a single track recorded at one of the most successful studios in the world during the period from 1964 through 1972. During one amazing week, 25% of the Billboard Hot 100 was recorded at this magic place, Chips Moman's famous American Sound Studios. At number 5, here is the self-contained band Piccadilly Circus with a song written by one of its members, a very young version of the ever-present Jack Holder, and recorded at the legendary American Sound Studios, There Will Be No Tomorrow. Something like a mix between two very famous American sound acts, B.J. Thomas and the Box Tops, that was Piccadilly Circus featuring the ever-present Jack Holder with There Will Be No Tomorrow.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we will play a song that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Today, though, we are going to play a single that really made its mark in Australia more so than the United States. And it's another one of those instances where it seems that everything in music is connected. Back at number 40, we heard The Locomotion by Grand Funk, a number one single that was produced by Todd Rundgren. The song we're getting ready to play was also produced by Todd. And just two songs ago, we heard Max Weinberg drumming and Roy Batan playing piano for Bruce Springsteen on his classic Badlands. For this bombastic Rundgren-produced recording session, a band was assembled that was basically half Utopia and half E Street. However, on saxophone, it was Edgar Winter instead of Clarence Clemons. And while the song was actually sung by Marvin Lee Adey, let's listen to actress Marcia McLean and her dialogue introduction to this song with the song's writer, Jim Steinman.
On a hot summer night, would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses?
Will he offer me his mouth?
Yes.
Will he offer me his teeth?
Yes.
Will he offer me his jaws?
Yes.
Will he offer me his hunger?
Yes.
Again, will he offer me his hunger?
Yes.
And will he starve without me?
Yes.
Then does he love me?
Yes.
Yes.
On a hot summer night, would you offer your throat to the wolf with the red roses?
Yes.
I bet you say that to all the boys.
Shooting stars falling through your trembling hands. You were licking your lips and your lipstick shining. I was dying just to ask for a taste. Oh, we were lying together in a silver lining by the light of the moon. You know there's not another moment, not another moment, not another moment to waste. Oh, well,
I know you.
Yeah. Now my body is shaking.
took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth.
With a song that peaked in the United States on the Billboard chart at number 39, in Cashbox at number 42, and in Record World at number 49, but made it all the way up to number 3 in Australia and number 4 in Belgium, that was Marvin Lee Adey, better known as Meatloaf, with You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our number 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Forest Hills, New York, and one of its most famous vocalists. Back in 1967, Louis Armstrong left Cap Records to move over to ABC Records. ABC president Larry Newton wanted Louis to record a number of swing-style hits, but Louis took the advice of arranger Artie Butler and recorded a tender song that immediately shot up to number one in England, but with absolutely no label support from ABC, only made it to number 116 in the United States during its initial chart run. Of course, over time, that tender song, What a Wonderful World, became a true classic, influencing artists of all types from all around the world, including the only vocalist on earth equally comfortable in CBGB's and the Brill Building, Joey Ramone. Three from way downtown. That was Joey Ramone with a solo release that also featured Marky Ramone on drums. What a Wonderful World.
Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a single that we think should have reached number 1. And it is a song that has the unique distinction of being recorded and released twice by two different rock bands, both of which contained the song's writer at different times. Back in 1971, the British rock act The Move recorded a song that was originally titled Look Out Baby, There's a Plane A-Comin'. Ultimately, it was renamed and placed on the flip side to the group's UK single, California Man. In the United States, the A-side didn't chart, and the B-side scraped up to number 93 in 1972. Then, the song's writer turned all of his attention to a symphonic rock hybrid project that started out as a side band. After touring with the new project, he began hearing from rock journalists that Todd Rundgren was playing his number 93 song in Utopia's live shows. Some writers even thought the song was a Rundgren original. In order to set the record straight, the writer, Jeff Lynn, and his new band, ELO, recorded the song all over again. Song that reached number 25 in Record World, number 24 in Billboard, number 16 in Cashbox, but should have hit number 1 on all three of those charts, that was the Electric Light Orchestra and their re-recording of The Move's one and only U.S. chart record, Do Ya. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1, and it is another unfortunate instance of a song that I have always intended to play at this position, but not necessarily this quickly. Sadly, the recent passing of Rick Ocasek has moved this selection to today. I have absolutely loved The Cars from the first time I ever heard them on the radio. Their unique mixture of new wave, hard rock guitar, keyboards, poetic lyrics, and catchy choruses had me hooked from the very beginning. From their second album, Candy O, which reached number 3 on the Billboard album chart, here is the closer from side 2, a song that was, for a time, the most played album track on FM rock outlets in the United States, Dangerous Time.
Can I touch you? Are you out of touch? I guess I never noticed that much. Uranium lover, I'm live on your wire.
Was the late Rick Ocasek and his band, The Cars, with our Hall of Perfection track, the closer to the Candy O album, Dangerous Time. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altonuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static. Alt-Uni-